Well, not every subject that we present warrants a full-length message, but there are many smaller subjects that can be covered very well in a short period of time, and it's two of those that I want to cover today. But there is one that I heard of years ago in the church, and come to find out, it has many people who are somewhat of that opinion. Even some of the prominence in our various organizations hold this view or consider this view, and you have to wonder, what's the thinking? What's the motivation for it? It could be, one of the motivating things, could be the idea that God is a single being. And we can understand that because, you know, there is a major religious persuasion that sort of takes that point of view. And it, to some degree, has walked its way through the Church of God. And also, I know for a fact that the Jehovah's Witnesses somewhat hold this position. I know that because I'm corresponding with a neighbor lady down here down the road who has basically presented that view. And what I'm going to present today is largely my response to her, but I think it has value to us too. The verse that is most used to support the idea that Jesus Christ was a created being is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, where it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now that verse provides support to the idea that the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the one that we know to be what we call the second person of the Godhead, had been created. What we need to establish is, what is the nature of that creation? Now, there is the persuasion in many religious organizations that Jesus Christ had no pre-existence prior to the time of his conception in Mary. There is that idea also that somewhat is on the periphery of our belief system. But is that the case? Is that what this term is talking about, the beginning of the creation of God? Can God be created? Which is, I think, a fundamental question that we need to ask. The statement seems to support the idea that God can be created. Well, if that's the case, in this case, if this is talking about Jesus Christ having been created, we need to ask ourselves, when did that happen? If it was just prior to what we call the first century, then where does that leave him as it involves all of the Old Testament narratives? Was he not in that scene? Was he not any of those situations where God interacted with humanity? This is the problem that we have to face when we address that question. But what does it mean, the beginning of the creation of God? It's not an obscure passage. It's not mistranslated. It's pretty accurate. But what does it mean? That's the thing. And the question is, when? If it were the case, when did it happen? Now, was it in the deepest antiquity, before the creation of the universe and before the creation of Earth and before the creation of life on Earth? If it was way back then what's the difference? because then we're still dealing with two beings all through the biblical narratives. And that is our understanding, that the Godhead is a two-being entity, that there are two beings which comprise the Godhead as we know it. So if it were back that far, then what's the significance? Why would it even be necessary to say this to the Church of Laodicea? The beginning of the creation of God. Now, when you talk about something as a beginning, okay, the beginning, think about it. This is the beginning of something. Well, the use of the term beginning in that manner suggests that there are more to come. It doesn't say only. It says the beginning. Is God creating gods beyond this particular creation as it's referred to? In other words, is this the beginning of a process? Is that the point that's being missed? Many times there are relatively brief comments made in the Bible that when we look at them analytically, we begin to realize that there is a lot more said than meets the eye. And I think that's the case here also. The beginning suggests a repetitive process. There's more to come. Now, we know of Jesus Christ as being called the firstborn of many brethren. So the firstborn suggests there's going to be others so born, right? Logical. Why would you use that term if that wasn't the case? So that's the case we have here. The beginning of the creation of God, is that alluding to the fact that God is in the process of creating not just a being, but a family of beings? Is that what this is really getting to? Now, when you understand its placement in the context of the messages to the seven churches, this is the final one. This is the final of those seven, Laodicea. Is that telling us the time frame when we're going to realize these others who are to be brought into the God kind, as was he? Now, we know that Jesus Christ existed from deepest antiquity. We know that from his own words. And it's in John, Gospel of John, chapter 17. And this is a problem with those people who believe that Jesus Christ had no preexistence, that he was a created being sometime before the first century. But in John 17, we read, in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify you me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." A very potent statement. Very hard to misunderstand the fact that he existed in glorified form way back before the earth was created. Now, that gives us a partial answer to the question that I asked earlier. When did this beginning of the creation of God take place? If it's referring to the coming into being of Jesus Christ, this would suggest that it was way back there, long before the creation of the earth as we know it. So that's one potent consideration. But can God create God? Now, religiously, we might choke on that. We might have a little problem with that question. But this is what it says. He's in the process of creating God. Now, Jesus Christ himself made reference to that idea in John chapter 10. Let's go back a few pages. John chapter 10, and he was speaking to the religious leaders of the day, verses 34 and 5. I'll start in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'?" And that's, of course, a reference to Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. "If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say you of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent unto the world, 'You blasphemous, because I said, I am the Son of God.'" That didn't go over well. The people that heard that had some serious heartburn with the idea that human beings could be brought into the God kind by a process we call conversion. That just didn't fly. But it tells us something important. It shows us that God can, and I should say is, creating more beings for his family. Not of the same stature, granted, but he's creating more beings for his family. And that's what this beginning of the creation of God is. How did that happen? When did that happen? Well, we know that the being that we know as the pre-incarnate Christ existed from deepest antiquity. So far back, we can't even comprehend it. We can sort of comprehend if eternity into the future, but let's consider there was an eternity in the past as well. But we have Christ's own statements that he existed in glory with the Father from before the time that the world was. Now that speaks rather powerfully to his preexistence, which some people have a problem with. But he was a spirit being, clear up to a point in time. And that point in time was just a few years, what we call B.C., at which point he became implanted into the womb of Mary as a physical being. He left the glorified state and was put into the physical dimension through a human birth. Was that the beginning of the creation of God? No. Well, what was it? He lived his life as a physical human being, died, and was resurrected again as a spirit being. Now, there are scriptures that tell us that our resurrection is going to be in the likeness of his. We will live out our lives in the flesh, physical beings. Our lives will end. Most people have to this point. But we will be resurrected as spirit beings. Are those spirit beings what he's referring to when he talks about the beginning of the creation of God? He was the first one to go through that process, being raised from the flesh into the spirit. That was the creation of God that was being talked about. Let's look at a couple of other scriptures that are certainly relevant to this. John chapter 1, verse 1. We know it well. 1 John says the same thing practically, but John 1, verse 1. And this is something we always need to keep in mind when we encounter those people who think that Jesus Christ had no preexistence. It takes us back to the very beginning, deepest antiquity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God before. So if you're going to talk about the beginning of the creation of God, this has to be an entirely new process. Something else is going on here. And it wasn't related so much to himself. It's related to us. The angel is speaking to the churches towards the end of the eras. He's speaking to them, pointing out that a process is going on, that God is replicating his kind. He is creating more beings for his family, beings that are called gods. Jesus himself referred to that. He referred back to Psalm 82, verse 6, where it uses that terminology for people who are obviously not spirit beings at that point in time. So this creation that's being talked about in Revelation chapter 3 is not talking about the origin of the second person. It's talking about him going through the process first ahead of time, which kind of demonstrates what God is doing and how he's doing it. But he had to be the first. He had to be the first. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 23 through 28. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This is that what I was talking about, of us being restored to a spirit existence. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And that's the picture that the beginning of the creation of God phraseology is talking about. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted who did put all things under him. The Father still retains the supremacy there. And all things shall be subdued unto him. Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. This is the point in time when the Father is going to encapsulate to himself all of this family that has been raised up after the beginning of the creation of God. It's an ongoing process. That's what we need to understand. It's an ongoing process. Something else we need to consider from the question that God has a son. Are they of different composition? Is God the Father and his Son of different composition, longevity, and divine status? One being God, where the other is not. No, we understand them to be co-equals. Isaiah 9:6 establishes that the Son is, it calls him the mighty God. Clear back in Isaiah's day, he understood that the Son was Almighty God. John 5:18, which we read, presents himself correctly as being equal with God. That didn't go over well, but for that matter, it doesn't go over too well today with some groups. However, of the two beings, one entered the physical realm and the other did not. The clear distinction, a clear function between the two. One sustains the universe. One deals with humanity. And deals with humanity in a way that no other could, because he experienced physical life. He learned from that things that he could never learn intellectually. He learned by experience from the things that he suffered, it says. But let's understand that what's being created is not just the person, the second person of the God kind, but he's the beginner of all the rest of us who are to be born into his family as well. We have that possibility, so long as we remain faithful to the end. So the beginning of the creation of God has to do with more with us than it did with him, because he was the forerunner. He went through the process of living a life, serving his Father, being killed for that, being raised from the dead as a spirit being, as an example, because we are going to rise in the likeness of his resurrection, but being an example to us of what our potential is. And we need to understand this passage that way, that this isn't talking about him having been created at some point in time when he didn't exist before. That's not the point at all. The point is ourselves, that we have the ability, we have the promise put before us that we can be born of his kind just as he was.